That was wonderful. I'd like for you to turn to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. This is a... I think we need to hit the switch. It got turned off back there. Bottom left. There we go. It took me a year to figure out which one it was. 2 Peter chapter 1. It's really remarkable. Just knowing a little bit about God's word. How so much of what the world does is in an effort to get some answers, to get some satisfaction. What's my purpose? What's the point? What's the end game? There is no lack of self-help books for this reason. Searching for answers. And some of the things that those things provide can be helpful. But the truth is outside of that life from God, it's all in vain. No matter what it looks like, it ends in death. And there really are no answers outside of God's word and that life that comes from God. We will often say, when we see God's deliverance in a situation, I can't imagine, or we'll say something like this, I can't imagine not knowing God's word. I can't imagine not knowing, that I can go to my Father in prayer. Isn't that something? Just can't imagine that. We have so much to be thankful for. But I wanted to read here in the first chapter of 2 Peter. There's just some great truths here. We'll see in a moment. In verse 1, it opens with Simon Peter, a servant, and an apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious believing. That word faith is believing. I love that. It's precious. It's precious. That precious believing that's being spoken of here, and we're going to see as we go, it's that which God has given to be believed. It is the believing, the true and accurate information regarding Jesus Christ. That is the precious believing that we have received. It's precious information to believe. Because it's worth much, and it cost much. See, it's precious. Like precious believing, with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Okay? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through. Then it says the knowledge. And I want to just take a moment because this word is going to come up two more times in these verses that we're going to read. This word knowledge is from a word. It means... it's knowledge that has a tremendous effect on the knower. It causes the knower to go from a spectator to participating. It has that kind of effect on the knower. It's epigenosis. Do you understand? That's the knowledge. It's not just a head knowledge. That also comes up later in this chapter. It's not just to know something here, but it's to know to the end that it has a profound effect on you. See? It changes the way you see something. It changes the way you think. That's what this word is, in a nutshell. And it is through that knowledge that has a profound effect on the hearer that grace and peace be what? Isn't that something? Then it goes on. And it's that knowledge that has an effect on the knower of who? Of God. Right? And Jesus Christ. See? There is no other way. You know, the world's looking for peace. Talks about it. Verse 3, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I want to stop here. The word according, you could read this as because. Because what verses 3 and 4 are, it's giving you the reason. Okay, we just read about that knowledge having an effect. Grace and peace being multiplied, that knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. And then verses 3 and 4 give you the reason for that. Okay? So, because His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Okay? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. Well, let's just stop here. What kind of life are we talking about
here? Eternal life.
Eternal life, absolutely. We're talking about that life from who? From God. Spirit life. That's right. That's what we're talking about. That's spirit life. Because that spirit life we're going to see in a moment is the nature. It's the very nature of God. And that spirit life, like we heard in manifestations, has a tremendous effect on a person. That's right. Because God says, in another place in His Word, that He works in you to will and to do of
His.
That's right. That's not a condition. That's because of the life of God that you have in you. Now, I can choose to ignore that. But He works. He works in me. But I can also choose to live it. See? And that's what we're going to get into here. So it's that life of God and godliness. So everything we need regarding this life that's being spoken of here, and then it says in godliness. And godliness, it's a true and vital relationship with God. And by that, what I mean, it is true in that it is real. It is genuine. It is not hypocrisy. It's real. And it's vital because it's living. You follow? It's had an effect. So it's a true and vital relationship with God. And what that will look like, it will look like a devotion and a reverence to God. That's what it looks like. That relationship. Understood? It'll look like that. There's a devotion. There's a conduct associated with that great reverence for God. Whereby, oh, I'm sorry, I got to finish reading that verse. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us, and then it should read, by His glory and virtue. Has called us by His glory and virtue. And glory, in this context, is that which is worthy of praise, of honor, of worship. The God and Father who gave us all things that pertain unto that life from Him and that relationship with Him. Isn't that something? See, it's worthy of praise, worthy of worship. And virtue is, it's a moral or good character. You know, it's got some guts to it. That's God. Yeah. Verse 4. It continues on, giving the reason. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, by that which was promised, that by these you might be partakers. That means to share in. The what? What's it say? Divine nature. That's something. The divine nature. See? Well, whose nature is that?
God.
It's God's nature. See? And we share in that divine nature because we've received the life from God. Spirit. His nature. You know, when you look at little kids, you know, like today, I noticed with Abram, I can see Sarah in him. I can see some of her features. And there'll be times, you know, 3 weeks from now, he'll look just like Mark. It's, you know, and then they land where they land. But we partake, we share in the divine nature of who? Right. And you just got to stop. This is one of those things you just got to meditate about. And in light of what we're going to read here, what is God? What are his genes, so to speak? Well, we know from the word God is love. Yeah. We're going to see a little bit about that. Love. God is light. We're going to see a little bit about that too. See? We come from good stock. His divine nature. The life of God born within. And that life of God is what enables us to manifest the traits of our Father. That's who we are. Kind of a neat way to look at it, huh? Divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust or fleshly cravings. Because there is nothing else. Outside of the life from God, all there is a pursuit to satisfy a craving. That's all there is. And it may be that craving may be to understand, or that craving may be for peace, or that craving may be for money, or that craving may be for some really whack stuff, evil stuff. But outside of the life from God, that's all there is. It's a pursuit for those things. Isn't that something? And it never satisfies. That's the thing. It never satisfies. Then it says, and beside this, and really this should read, and for this reason. This is like the conclusion for these reasons that were just given in verse 3 and 4. Okay? This is the conclusion to the reason. And for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your believing virtue. Well, what's your Father? That's something. And that virtue is, again, that it's good moral character. There's an honorable side to it. There's backbone to it. And to virtue, knowledge. This word knowledge is regarding Scripture, regarding His Word, knowing His Word. And to knowledge, temperance or self-control. And to temperance, boy, who's the greatest example of self-control? God, He causes the rain to fall on the just and who? The unjust. He's patient. Because He doesn't want anybody to perish. See that? That's our Father. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And that's, again, that word. That real relationship with God. And to godliness, brotherly kindness or love. And to brotherly love, love. That's what it says. That's what it means. And to brotherly love, love. Because who's our Father?
That's right.
He is love. Isn't that something? So we show that kindness or that tenderness, that brotherly love to one another. You're my brother. You're my sister. I'm your brother. I'm not your sister. Well, there's neither male nor female in this thing anyway. But, right? We love each other. And then, outside of that, what? Love. Love. Because who's our Father? See, He is love. It's pretty awesome. I was going to stop here, but we can't. We just have to go a little further. For if these things be in you and abound, that make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. It's the word barren means to be inactive or idle. See? If these things are in you, you're not idle or unfruitful. In the knowledge, and that's that word epigenosis, that knowledge that has a powerful effect on the knower of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is, and the word blind is the word nearsighted. He can only see this. He doesn't see the big picture. It's just this. He's nearsighted. And cannot see afar off. And has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He forgot what he was delivered from. He forgot where he was headed. The adversary does that. He does that to people. Causes them to forget what it was they were delivered from. Causes them to forget what they have and who they are. See? And where they're headed. Isn't that something? When James talks about hearers only. We don't want to be hearers. We want to be what?
Doers.
See, doers of the word. Forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, as opposed to that, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election what?
Sure.
Now look, your calling is from God. Your election is by what Jesus Christ did for you. Those things are sure. You have the life from God born within you. The making, the calling, and the election sure in this context is to who? God? No. Who?
You.
You. Unlike the one who forgot. He forgot. He still got God's Spirit. He still belongs to God. He was still worth the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he forgot. He forgot what he got delivered from. As opposed to that, make it sure to you. You never want to be in that situation, right? Make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will not stumble. You won't stumble. You won't land, in the context here, as one who has forgotten. For so, we'll stop here and then we're going to go to Ephesians. For so an entrance shall be ministered or furnished unto you richly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? See, one of the things that we have because we have the life from God is that we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear sons. We have citizenship in that kingdom. We are citizens of heaven by way of Jesus Christ. This is talking about literally entering into that kingdom, which will be richly furnished to us. That's our future. That's our end. That's the end game. We're not nearsighted. See? Isn't that something? That life from God. Let's go to Ephesians. And we're going to read a few verses here. Number of places we could go here, but it's a contrast. here in Ephesians. And it's very interesting what God does by way of revelation here to remind us of something. We just read about the one who forgets that he was purged from his old sins. And then what we need to do in light of that life that we've received from God, how we're to conduct ourselves as sons of God, having spirit, so that we don't ever fall into that category. We get to where, you know, we forgot. We forgot. So, in Ephesians, and let's look at 4. We're actually going to skip over a few things. This is hard just to not keep reading because there's so much great stuff. But chapter 4, verse 1. Now, this is after a lot of the wonderful things that are laid out. All the things that God did in Christ that were done for us. Then 4:1 begins with, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you, I lovingly implore you that you walk worthy. And most of you know that word worthy is that word axios. It's in balance with. You know, you are walking in balance with the calling, with the vocation of the calling wherewith you were called. With, and this is how you do it, with all humility. The word lowliness there is humility. You never exalt, we don't exalt ourselves. God is God. And the life that we've received is from Him by what Jesus Christ did. All we do is believe, accept it. With all humility and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in what? There's your love. Forbearing one another in love. Holding one another up in love. Love really shows up a lot. That's because that's what we do. That's our Father. That's who we are. And we have the ability to love because we have the life of God born within. Isn't that simple? It's beautiful. I want to pick this up, though, to show some of this contrast. We're going to pick it up in verse 17. These verses in the middle talk about the grace that's been given and the one body and how God has set some things up in the one body, how Christ is the head of the one body. Then in verse 17, it kind of hits the brakes. You know, there's a loud screech in between verses 16 and 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as, and should read Gentiles, the word others is was added, as Gentiles walk. Walk not as Gentiles walk. In the what? In the vanity of their mind. See? That's all they've got. All they've got is their mind. Because they don't have the life from God. All they've got is their mind. And whatever can come out of that mind, that's what they have. Having the understanding, what? Darkened. That's something. Understanding darkened. You know what darkened is? It's the absence of light. Their understanding is darkened. Being alienated from the what? Isn't that something? From the life of God. And this life of God is that spirit life. It's the new birth. That's the life from God. It's spirit. That's what makes you His. It makes you a sharer in His divine nature. So, but they are aliens from the life of God. Earlier in Ephesians it says, we are in the household of God. We are where God dwells. They're aliens from the life of God. And here's why. It is through or because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the hardness of their heart. That's something. You know, and there's another place in the epistles where it says, It's the god of this world that blinds the minds of them which believe not. And that's what the world does. It can, boy, it can make a hard heart. See? It can make a hard heart. And you know what one of the beautiful things is? When you have a hard heart, there are many times where that hard heart can be softened by love, which is what we bring to the table. That is introducing men and women to our Father. Right, because of the hardness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, and lasciviousness means unbridled cravings. That's all there is. It's the cravings of the flesh. It's unbridled. To work all uncleanness with greediness. It's just all about self because it's all there is. It's all there is. But you have not so learned Christ. Isn't this something? That's quite a contrast from what we read in Peter. Understanding darkened, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, right? Unbridled lusts, as opposed to, you know, virtue, knowledge, grace, peace. Those are the things that God's called us to. And those are the things that we represent. Those are the things we manifest. See? When that knowledge has had that effect on us. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, manner of living, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts or desires. And they are deceitful because they never satisfy. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the life of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now this putting on the new man is in reference to that one body. It's that body of Christ of which we are all members of. Whether Jew or Gentile, we're all members of that one man. We put on that new man. And because of that, we don't lie to one another. We don't steal from one another. We love one another. We hold one another up in love. We forgive. We forgive like Christ forgave. We forgive, not forgetting what we've been forgiven for. Isn't that cool? We don't forget what we've been given for. Not only don't we forget, we forgive in light of that not forgetting. See? That's putting it on. And then it says in verse 1, and this is where we'll close. I just love this. Be ye therefore imitators of who? That word followers, imitators. You're imitators of God as what? Dear children. And then it says, this is a shock. Walk in what?
Love.
Right. As Christ loved the church. Isn't that something? We walk in love because our Father is love. And we are sharing in his divine nature because we have the life of God. And then that's what we manifest. We manifest that to the world. Isn't that beautiful? And we do it by walking in love. Not concerned about self, concerned about others. It's very freeing. It's very freeing. And it's a life that satisfies with the end game in mind, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and he is going to give us an entrance into that kingdom. Isn't that something? That day's coming. It's absolutely coming. So, amen. Got a lot to be thankful for. So, let me pray.